Right now, it's time for Talking Animals. I'm Duncan Strauss, and I'm really delighted to bring you another edition of Talking Animals, in which we'll discuss music for dogs, music by dogs, and more with our guest, artist-musician Laurie Anderson. As always, we're kicking off the show with an animal tune, but this is different by virtue of it being an animal playing on it. Brand new from today's guest, Laurie Anderson, and featuring her dog Lolabelle on piano and backup barks. This is a snippet of Bodies in Motion from the album Homeland here on Talking Animals. Take it away, Lolabelle.
We embody the spirit of motion. Our bodies in motion. We're bodies in motion. We dig down in the ocean, swing up to the stars. We own the moon and the masters of Mars. We're bodies in motion. We embody the spirit of motion. Our ancestors come.
All right, this is Laurie Anderson from her new album, Homeland, with a slice of Bodies in Motion, featuring Laurie's dog, Lolabelle, on piano and barks. To kick off today's edition of Talking Animals, my name is Duncan Strauss, here with our program that is devoted to all subjects in the animal kingdom. In just a few minutes, we'll be speaking with today's guest, Laurie Anderson, who recently released an acclaimed album called Homeland, her first in nearly a decade, and a few weeks ago premiered her composition Music for Dogs at a festival in Sydney, Australia. We'll find out about the new album and Music for Dogs and the talented Lolabelle, of course, when Laurie Anderson joins us in a few moments here on Talking Animals. And as usual, we'll also welcome your questions and comments at 813-239-9663 or by email at dj@wmnf.org. Time now for animal news items and or announcements. I have a message for residents of Hillsborough County, and an important one at that. There is an important effort underway, in fact, to implement in Hillsborough County an ordinance to prohibit tethering or chaining dogs. Many cities and counties across Florida and the nation have already passed such an ordinance. Now, many people listening to this station would probably never chain their dog outside, much less for days or weeks on end. I might be surprised that there are people who do, but many do, which in Florida can mean, you know, out there for a long time, lacking shelter amidst the blazing heat, especially right now, and thunderstorms, extra vulnerable to fleas, mosquitoes, snakes, heartworm, and other parasites, etc. So, please consider signing the petition. You can find it online at www.petitionspot.com/petitions/anti-tethering. It's petitionspot.com/petitions/anti-tethering. And once there are enough signatures, it will be presented to the Hillsborough County Board of Commissioners for review. Thank you very much. And if you still had trouble with that link, feel free to email us at talkinganimals@wmnf.org. Put petition in the subject heading, and we'll shoot you the link right back as soon as we possibly can. So, and on Friday, looking ahead a little bit, Friday, August 27th, Animal Planet premieres Blood Dolphins, a three-part miniseries spotlighting the work of dolphin activist Rick O'Berry. And O'Berry is also a past guest on Talking Animals, and his tireless efforts were at the center of the Oscar-winning documentary The Cove, which Animal Planet will actually premiere on Sunday, August 29th. So lots of good stuff going on with past guests here on Animal Planet. So right now it's time to step into the Talking Animals Comedy Corner, which involves animal-oriented comedy. This is Mike Kaplan, whom you might know currently from Last Comic Standing, with Animal Rights and Wrongs on today's Comedy Corner here on Talking Animals.
I actually saw a dog licking his own genitals, and I was like, wow, if I could do that, that'd be gross. Me licking a dog's genitals? Ew. Ew, ew, ew. But there are people who think that that's next. Bestiality after gay marriage, which I don't think they've thought it through entirely like I have. Because imagine a gay man who's finally won the right to be with a gay man. He's like, what's next? Female chimp? I don't think so. Maybe male chimp. Maybe gay bestiality follows gay marriage, but that means straight bestiality follows straight marriage. It's marriage that leads to bestiality. So if you want to get rid of bestiality, you have to get rid of marriage, which also gets rid of divorce, premarital sex, adultery. You kill four birds with one stone, which is way better than killing thousands of birds by throwing rice at weddings. See? Plus, you can take all those birds you're not killing, you can have sex with them and not marry them. No illegitimate children, no teen pregnancy, and even if there was miraculously an offspring of a human and a bird, what's it gonna be? Probably an angel. Why would you fight that, religious people, is all I'm saying. Sure, don't have sex with a goat, that'll produce the devil. That's what I'm saying.
All right, that was Mike Kaplan with a piece called Animal Rights and Wrongs, taken from his album Vegan Mind Meld. I'm Duncan Strauss. This is Talking Animals. Our website is talkinganimals.net, where we make available all sorts of information on past shows and archives and podcasts are all there. We also have a link to the Talking Animals Facebook page. Like us already, will you? And our Twitter page. Please follow us. Plus, there's a place to subscribe to our email newsletter so we can keep you posted on forthcoming guest program news and more. That's all found at talkinganimals.net. It's nearly time to speak with today's guest, Lori Anderson. So let me outline a few things about her. Not that she needs much introduction. She's a long-celebrated artist-musician who recently released the acclaimed album Homeland, her first new collection in nearly a decade. And as we've already established, one Homeland track features her dog Lolabelle on piano and backup barks. Plus, a few weeks ago, she premiered Music for Dogs in Sydney, Australia, at a festival she curated with her husband, Lou Reed. Much to discuss here. So with a reminder that we invite you to join the conversation by calling 813-239-9663 or emailing us at dj@wmnf.org. Or let's welcome Lori Anderson to Talking Animals. Lori, welcome to Talking Animals.
Thank you very much. How are you?
I'm very good, thanks. And thanks so much for making the time to join us today. I'm eager, of course, to discuss music for dogs and music by dogs and other topics. But I think it might be useful for a bit of context to ask how far back you were a dog person. You're clearly one now, but does that stretch back to childhood or...
Yeah, we had lots of animals when I was a kid. A monkey, some ponies, bunch of fish, dogs and cats, and it was a big group of people, big group of animals. You know, eight kids, maybe always had about 10 or 15 animals around.
Oh, my goodness. And where was this? Where were you living during these?
This is near Chicago.
Okay. Wow. So were you also sort of drawn to animals, like rescuing or tending to them amongst the many humans and animals that were living in the house? Were you always someone who was bringing home a new animal of some kind?
I thought we had enough animals, so I wasn't looking for more.
That's a good point. Yeah, we sort of tapped out there. So,
yeah.
One of the many things I adore about animals is the way that living with them, especially as a kid in a family like you just described, can really sort of cultivate compassion and sensitivity. To what extent over the years has your time with fondness for relationship with animals influenced your work as an artist, maybe in that regard?
A lot, you know. Mm-hmm. When I actually think about it, our dog Lolabelle got very ill about a year and a half ago, and they said, "Oh, she has only a month to live." But we've been treating her very aggressively with things for pancreatic cancer, and here she is. She's like sitting here with me, like licking her paws.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a really wonderful treatment called angiogenesis, and it's for people too. And they've had a lot of great success. Rates with pancreatic cancer. So the thing about also living with a dog who's old is and maybe has some health things is that dogs, for the most part, they want to live.
Mm-hmm.
Like sometimes old people are like, I've had it, that's enough, I'm depressed. No, but dogs are like, I'm going to give it a shot. And it's very inspiring just to watch how hard they try.
That will That will, sort of yeah. joy and zest.
And joy, too, because they're still having fun, even though they're kind of hobbling around.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, and speaking of that joy and that will, you know, before we go too much further, I should mention that she, Lolabel, actually texted me this morning and said, hey, in case I don't get to call in, can you ask Lori why I didn't get to play on more of the new album than just the one track? I guess she was hoping.
To... I've explained this to her a lot.
Oh, yeah. All right.
You know, it's like... She actually she's been playing. Well, she went blind about a year ago, and she got really. She wouldn't go outside from a dog who was like you know West Village dog in New York City who is all about being sociable. You know, in fact, walking her in the West Village is more like shopping. You know, in the past, anyway, she had a tab at a bunch of stores, and she would go and she'd say hello to everyone in the neighborhood. Everyone knows her. Get a little treat here, a toy there, this kind of thing. That's being a dog in the West Village. Now, when she went blind, she also lost a lot of her sense of smell at the same time.
Mm.
So that world kind of collapsed. It wasn't there. It suddenly wasn't there.
Yeah.
And she didn't want to go outside. She didn't want to do anything. And so we got a trainer, and the trainer said, to help her, like, look, you know, go upstairs and figure it all out again.
Mm.
And the trainer said, hey, you know, I taught my dogs to play piano. And we said, teach ours. So she's been playing piano for like an hour a day for a year and a half.
Wow. And with some of the things you're describing, I guess I'm curious if you don't mind saying, how old is Lolabel at this point?
She's 12.
Yeah, okay.
She's going to be 13 in September.
Okay.
So she's you know, she's doing really, really well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, certainly, at least from what I've heard on Homeland, amongst other things, she's got a real gift for it. So
she does. She's a confident player.
That's good. So let me let our listeners know this is Talking Animals. If you just tune in, we're speaking with Lori Anderson, who recently released an acclaimed album, Homeland, her first new collection in nearly a decade. We invite you to join the conversation by calling 813-239-9663 or emailing dj@wmnf.org. So, Lori, I certainly want to discuss Homeland, which I think is just a wonderfully rich work and just bristling with ideas. But if it's all right, I'd like to sort of circle back to it in a moment. And sort of given the nature of this show, it's almost incumbent on me to first delve into Music for Dogs, which you premiered a few weeks ago in Sydney, Australia, where you and husband Lou Reed were curating a festival. So maybe you could describe sort of the initial idea for Music for Dogs, and was the piece first prompted by something you were working on or something that Lolabel was doing or not, you know? Or
idea was last summer I was hanging around backstage I guess at a commencement event wearing a mortarboard because I had to give a commencement address or something like this. I can't even remember the college, but the cellist Yo-Yo Ma was also there, and it was really hot and very boring while we were waiting to give our speeches encouraging all the young artists and musicians that this is the perfect time to be an artist and musician.
Sure.
So anyway, we were just talking about our favorite concerts, and I was saying, you know, my fantasy would be I'm playing the violin, and I look out, and the whole audience is dogs. And he said, that's my fantasy, too. So we said, okay, whoever gets a chance to do that concert first will be will invite the other one to play. So when Lou and I did the festival in Sydney, we proposed this concert.
Mm-hmm.
And they said sure. So we thought it would be like a couple of hundred people with their dogs, but thousands of people showed up on the steps of the Sydney Opera House, and it was just fantastic.
Yeah, well, just the little YouTube clips and stuff I've seen, I mean, yeah, it's a mob scene, and it's slightly chaotic and only in the most wonderful way, and it seems like people are really having a great afternoon.
We had a great time, and it was a short show. It was 20 minutes. It was supposed to be, originally it was going to be music that pretty much was in the range of dogs' hearing, which is a lot higher than ours, you know, but then a bunch of people who I was talking to about this, I wouldn't recommend using those high-frequency sounds with lots of dogs around. You just don't know what's going to happen.
Well, that's what I was going to ask is how the piece might have changed over time. And if I understood what I heard and read, you know, that it was sort of aimed, at least initially, at sort of the hearing range of dogs, but maybe what you're suggesting now kind of addresses this is I was just wondering how you worked on a piece or changed or modified it or whatever, if it was aimed at that hearing range, Again, maybe input from Lolabelle, but I mean, how did that work?
She is a great studio dog. In fact, she's a rat terrier, so it's his master's voice breed. So sitting by the gramophone with the ears perked up.
Sure.
And she's sitting here right in front of me now, perking up her ears because she's listening to this whole thing. So anyway, they love the human voice also.
Yeah.
They really do. But anyway, you do it with meters, and you do it with, you know, there are lots of things that you do in the studio that you have to test when you're making a record that are like where is that frequency going, or is it creating overtones over there? So, you know, you can look at sounds that you can't hear.
Mm-hmm.
And but as I said, we started with that, and then kind of went a little bit away from that on the advice of some
right.
people who said I wouldn't try it. So whales also hear in some frequencies that we don't, both
sure.
low and high, and so some of the music. It actually started out because it was on the harbor there in Sydney,
mm-hmm.
with some whale calls as well, because they were thinking, like, why do animals sing? They sing often to find each other, you know? And
yeah.
Or dogs barking, like, oh, where are you? Where are you? I'm over here. Okay, well, don't come over here. Or come over here, or whatever. And whales, the same thing. They're, like, looking around the oceans to find each other. And anyway, so we did a kind of a little overture with that, and then... The show is 20 minutes, so
mm-hmm. yeah.
like a major symphony, but it emphasized, you know, and I would talk a little bit in between the things a little bit about rhythm, because, for example, anytime you walk your dog, you're in a rhythmic relationship with him, unless you're dragging him by the leash down the street, you know, you've got to establish a tempo.
Right.
How do you walk with your dog so that it's a happy experience and not just a tugging one?
Right, there's a certain gait that works for both.
Yeah, and that's music, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were doing some, and a lot of people say, oh, my dog likes classical music, but often the same reason that they say that about their kids, because it's soothing and, you know, they'll go down on their towels quicker, you know, sort of. But there were a lot of rocker dogs at the show, you know, and they were just dancing. And every dog was, like, super proud to be there, you know.
Yeah.
Because they all got the idea, this is something that for them. They're, and so we had three big sections sort of marked out for small, medium, and large dogs, so there wouldn't be any...
tussling.
Competition mm-hmm. and sort of... And then a lot of vets from Sydney and people who do dog therapy got involved, and they came, and, you know, they were just set up their trucks around in case any dog, you know, stubbed his toe or whatever. So they were there, and they also offered a lot of free massages to dogs. So
wow,
a lot of dogs came in these like conveyances. I think they probably had never been in like carriages, dogs who couldn't walk and stuff, and they came, and so we gave a lot of those massages away, like to the dogs who slept the most and that kind of thing.
Sure.
And, but there were also the droolers. They were my favorite concert goers because they would just be in the mosh pit looking up at the stage going, what?
What's going on? There, yeah, this is what
they were sweet. They were so sweet.
Well, it's never too late to have your first concert experience,
there
I guess.
There you go. Yeah. They had a blast.
And how, Lori, how did the sort of, with all these things kind of neatly swirling around, I mean, how did the performance response compare? I mean, did you have a certain thing in your head, you know, especially after people kind of cautioned you not to go too far into the hearing range more aimed at dogs, but did you sort of picture something, and how that actually happened in front of the opera house that day? How did that sort of compare?
I hadn't pictured the joy. I hadn't pictured thousands of wagging tails and people who were just really, it was like, also it was this morning that it just, it had been raining and raining and raining, and then suddenly it just cleared up, and it was like just this incredible energy that was in the air. It was a really, really beautiful morning. Also happened to be my birthday, and so it was like this big celebration. I you know, whenever you do a new show or whatever, you have a lot of, there's a lot of, you know, you wonder, like, is this going to work at all?
And sure.
As soon as it started, it was just so much happiness. It was almost unbearable. It was really great.
It sounds like a lot of joy really amongst dogs and humans. And by the way, belated happy birthday. But so, like you said, I mean, you know, you're used to doing pieces that then become parts of or an entire album. I mean, what sort of plans do you have to perform Music for Dogs again, maybe closer to this continent, and might it eventually end up on an album of some kind?
Well, you know, I have gotten a lot of invitations to do this, but I was really afraid I would be like the Music for Dogs person. So I don't have any plans to do another one. But I think it's an open territory, and it's always I think people should do stuff like that. And my next project is actually somebody at a university in Atlanta asked me to do some music for fish, actually not for fish, about fish.
Oh, wow.
For blind people this big aquarium and university research center wants to work with musicians I really don't understand how this works, to tell you the truth.
Okay.
But just make music that expresses the way fish move so that blind people can have the pleasure of watching the way fish glide through the water. So we'll see what happens with that. That's going to be in February.
Wow. And where will that be presented?
Don't know.
Okay.
Depends on what happens. I'm just going to go down for a few days to work with their team and see what they're talking about. I don't quite understand it.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like it's seeking to be evocative of their movement, but that could mean, I guess, really any number of things.
Any number of things.
Wow. So, that's great that you're still, even if it sounds like the Music for Dogs was kind of a one-off, it sounds like you're still be doing some music for...
interspecies music, yes. That's becoming my thing.
Cool. Well, again, this is Talking Animals. My guest is Laurie Anderson, whose new album is Homeland, and she recently premiered a separate piece that we were just talking about called Music for Dogs. So join the conversation. If you have a question or comment for Laurie, you can call 813-239-9663 or email dj@wmnf.org. So Homeland is just congratulations. It's just a great album. And I don't know, I'm sure there's a reason why we haven't had a Laurie Anderson album in a number of years, but it was certainly, it's as great to have one now. And
I've been doing a lot of different kinds of things, mostly stories and spoken stuff and a lot of visual projects. And I've been designing some parks and stuff like that.
Oh yeah,
in Japan, and then the new one that is going to open in Switzerland in a couple of weeks. That has a lot of come to think of it, it has a lot of birds' nests in it that they're disguising the speakers. It's sort of singing trees in a way. And that's going to be really beautiful.
And is also some of the design like what would be as canine friendly as possible, or is that not necessarily what they're tapping here? No.
It's really designed for a park that has a lot of art in it, and it's big, beautiful trees. And some of the sounds go down this double row of trees along the sides of on either side of a big street, and then others come out of a cave, and others are some leaves that we've designed out of piezoelectric pieces of kind of metal, let's say, that you hang in the trees, and they look kind of like leaves. They move like leaves, but they're speakers.
Wow.
And they're gorgeous. They sound amazing. So the park is in Basel in Switzerland, but we have it so that we're controlling this whole system from New York. So it's really fun to do the remote music for trees.
Sounds like Big Sister is not only watching but designing. So that's great.
It works. It actually works.
Yeah.
The big opening is the 27th office, case you're in Basel.
Okay. Well, I'd like to get to Basel just to check this out.
Well, it'll be there for like 3 years.
Oh, I see. So it really is just kind of an installation with a certain kind of end point.
Yeah.
Okay. I gotcha. And So on just back to Homeland for one sec, just because I want to make sure people listening, are fully aware that there is just another really great album out, and there's just so many great pieces that just jump out, and Only an Expert is like to me sort of a glorious whip smart like op ed piece, that just keeps being updated and rewritten, like obviously the way you added the BP fiasco when you performed it on Letterman, maybe other performances. I mean, is that part? I mean, is it just sort of weird and serendipitous that you were writing a piece that was so much about what's been going on, then probably as soon as you mastered the thing, you couldn't quite get VP, but I mean, it just lent itself to just...
There's no shortage of experts in the world.
Sure.
People who are telling you what you should do. And that started irritating me, I have to say. Particularly, let's say in banking, bankers who just go, I'm sorry, but this whole system is so complicated, you are not going to be able to understand it because only an expert can really get. But, meanwhile,
so condescending,
blind.
Same
thing with sometimes with doctors. They go, ask your doctor what you should do. Well, ask yourself.
Right.
It's like some. I mean, I don't mean never ask your doctor. They know quite a bit, but it's just this kind of trend towards treating people kind of like children, or idiots, possibly understand it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a natural sort of development, I guess, because things just get more and more and more and more specialized until your expertise is, a certain kind of mold that grows under chairs, and that's, you have to ask you about that mold. So, anyway.
Well, and also, of course, it's used as a real tactic, too, as obviously the BP thing is a perfect example where, there's all kind of subterfuge and, hey, we're doing this, and here we're working on this, and we've got all the best experts, and somehow the situation's getting worse.
It's not solved at all, yeah.
Yeah.
It's definitely a perfect way to hide what you're doing. Make it seem really complicated. Everybody knows that.
Sure.
Though,
It's a great trick.
Keep falling for it. So,
right.
So that's why I wrote that song.
Yeah. Well, great stuff. And again, we're just sort of nearing the end of our time here, Lori. But before we go, flipping through Rolling Stone a couple of days ago, and there's a picture in the random notes of you, Lola Bell, and Lou Reed presiding over Coney Island's annual mermaid parade.
Oh, all right.
Which seems amusing and improbable. And I know there are a lot of folks who are still, surprised, maybe even incredulous that to find that you and Lou Reed are a married couple. I mean, do you understand this reaction, or do you find it annoying, or what? I mean, what's your reaction?
I don't spend 2 minutes thinking about it.
No, okay.
I mean, it's like it's wonderful to be married, first of all, to Lou, and second,
sure.
It's like when you marry somebody who does something like what we do, it's,
mm-hmm.
it's like, two lawyers being married or something. You don't have to explain everything.
Sure,
like,
sure. There's a shorthand.
How long? You don't know how long you're going to be there? You don't have to explain that.
Right. No, I understand the shorthand between you two. I just,
yeah.
I just think that for some people, just like, they couldn't quite do the math, I guess, when you guys became a couple. And again,
well,
like you say, you don't care about it, but it is.
A different musical world
yeah,
in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
When worlds collide,
yeah,
really good.
There you go.
Yeah.
Great. Well, what a perfect note on which to leave this. Lori Anderson, thank you so much for joining us today on Talking Animals. Again, the new album is Homeland. There's information about that and the occasional performances and other things at LoriAnderson.com. And I just so enjoyed speaking with you. Thank you so much again for making the time.
Thanks a lot.
Okay, bye bye now.
Bye.
All right, I'm Duncan Strauss. You're listening to Talking Animals. The show website is talkinganimals.net. It's time to proceed to name that animal tune. There'll be a prize, a pair of tickets to see Dimitri Martin at the Straws, Saturday, August 21st. The first person who calls 813-239-9663 and it correctly identifies this spousally relevant to Lori Anderson animal tune. It's named that animal tune on Talking Animals.
This one had a dog. She used to keep it in her backyard. And when the dog began to bark, all the neighbors began to shout. Then came a stormy night. Miss Riley let her dog out. And when the neighbors found him round, they put a gun down his mouth.
All right, we have just about reached the end of today's edition of Talking Animals. The program airs twice a month, specifically the first and second Wednesday of each month, so we'll return next Wednesday, August 11th, when our guest will be Alan Rabinowitz, a prominent zoologist, conservationist, and field biologist who in the course of his career has discovered four new species of mammals. He also grew up with a severe stutter, is now a spokesperson for the Stuttering Foundation, and recounting the isolation of his stuttering that caused him and how it launched him on a lifetime of working with animals, famously almost brought Stephen Colbert to tears when Rabinowitz was on the Colbert Report a couple years ago. Fascinating guy with quite a story, and he'll be with us next Wednesday, August 11th. I hope you'll join me then. Talking Animals broadcast outreach consultant is Libby McKenna. My thanks to her. I'm Duncan Strauss. Thanks very much for listening. Have a good week. Be kind to animals. Be kind to others. Be kind to yourself. And we're going to take these guesses for Name That Animal Tune off the air. So right now we're closing out today's show, as always, with an animal tune. This is Florence and the Machine with Dog Days Are Over on WMNF Tampa. Thanks for listening. Catch you next week, 11:30 a.m., Talking Animals.
Happiness hit her like a train on a track. Coming towards her. The dog days are over.